He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And it's big end of the, well, it's even it's the beginning of the new marketing year, sales time for pickup trucks. There's a sale on every day, Jill, I know. And
I still can't get anyone here to tell me when the actual model year ends.
From last year's $10,000 to $12,000 back on special editions of pickup trucks to $14,000 or 20% back off market stickers, as I saw over the weekend on some of the shows I saw. Ford was touting their F-150 with special packages at $14,000 and change off, and then GM came on and said 20% off the sticker, which could be up to $14,000 off if you want to buy, if it's a $70,000 sticker price pickup truck, I guess.
And then how much is the, how long is the loan?
Well, I didn't read about the loan. It was just basically the loans.
In retirement.
You don't get $14,000 off plus a 0% loan. You might get a loan for 60, 70, or 80, you know, 8 years, 6, 7, or 8 years. I don't know.
But I should think that most of the people, though, in that particular market don't necessarily are not able to walk in with their $70,000 less.
Yes, and I expect very few of the
14.
People, contractor types of people around town are able to go and get that advantage because you have to have excellent credit for all this and for financing at that rate, at the rates that they offer with those specials.
But you also have to have an income
you
that
may
is
also, you may be able to get
steady.
Well, that's the financing part.
Okay.
It doesn't stop them from advertising the availability of those deals if you are financially deal with it. I did not because I didn't buy me one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sorry.
And you're first. Okay.
And I'm first, exactly. And plus, they don't get very good mileage, you know, and
well,
all the rest
there,
of the stuff. But they are, you know, they're very usable for the reasons that people buy them.
Which are?
Contractors for contracting purposes. And then the luxury buyers who buy them just to carry them around with a pickup bed in back instead of a trunk.
But people who haul things, it's just, you know, once you get out of a certain demographic, let's just say, I mean, there are people here who've always wanted pickup trucks, and they can go out and they can buy a $70,000.
Let me tell you, there are a lot of new pickup trucks running around our Northwest broadcast corner. It's just, notice
which
them.
Which tells you that people on a certain level at a certain time in their life don't really give a rap about
mileage.
Well,
if they only can buy one vehicle, that's what they may buy if they're in the business to need a pickup truck. Some people might buy a pickup truck because they just want a pickup truck.
Exactly. I'm talking about that group.
They're purposeful for what they're good for, you know. So much for that. But the sales are on, and they're all over
excited.
The TV. They're all over the TV waves, and maybe they're over radio waves, but they're certainly on the TV screens. Of course, you can't read the small print at the bottom, no matter how big your big screen TV is, at least up to the 43-inch or 47-inch that I happen to have. I still can't read it from my armchair rest.
I don't think you're meant
without
to.
A magnifying glass. Of course it is. It's like when you hear these ads on the radio, you've got these people. I don't know how the people speak or how they speed them up.
It's professional.
But you cannot. It's professional, but, you know, it's like an auctioneer, I guess. How they get through all that gibberish about, you know, in the 30 seconds that they have at the end of the ad or whatever is beyond.
I would like to be the person who gets to decide, the arbiter that decides whether or not that's vaguely listenable to the human ear, whether the human ear can discern the disclaimer being
I can't
offered.
Hear the completeness of it the way that guy can speak, that guy or woman or whatever who speaker can speak it, that's
both,
for sure.
We actually have, it's sort of gender neutral.
Okay. Jay, you want to talk about the Mustang Mach-E?
No,
I would like to, too, okay. Because I finally saw a video of it on the track, and after our sideline conversations coming to do a show and all that, I actually can see its purposeful features. I don't know whether I agree that they should call it a Mustang, but I guess they're going to use the Mustang because they want to keep the Mustang in production in some form or another, and they'll probably keep the regular two-door Mustang in there for the 1,000 people or so a year that want to buy Mustangs going into the next century. as opposed, and then hopefully sell the Mach-E, which is will be electric and relevant to the future use of vehicles.
I think the Mach-E is a great vehicle. It looks like it on paper.
It looks like it's sort
if
of
it
on
makes
the road.
Its way on the road in the next year or two, it would be great. If it comes out as it is in 5 years, it's going to be Ford will be behind everybody else.
What is the estimated date for 2021?
Who knows? I mean, it took them 10 years to get the Ford Ranger out.
No, you said that behind the scenes.
2020.
2020.
I still am not convinced.
Which I think is 5 weeks.
I still think the marketing strategy
the beginning of.
And using the Mustang nameplate is. We'll see.
And so, as you know, station co-founder Marshall Miles listened to you, looked up the thing, and thought, this is terrific.
Well, he did. He said it before we came in to talk about
it. But he said it right after. And so I was thinking strictly from a marketing standpoint. It's like, all right, one of the things that we did at the very beginning to create, to give Robinhood Radio an identity is we became an NPR station. Which most people don't realize, most people don't realize how much that costs and what you have to do.
Oh, we're getting a little plug in here.
What I am saying is NPR. By the way, have you done your? Have you asked people? Have you said people are listener supported? And if you like this show, please
support. No, because I haven't
Robinhood Radio?
Anybody.
Oh, okay. So long short, NPR as a what it enabled us to do was stand out. From it's like okay, we know what their identity. We don't know what they're gonna do, but at least it connected an identity to the. It's like, all right, that's what they're doing. And
In your case and NPR, I see that.
So I was just wondering
the
whether the similar.
In the case of Ford and the Mustang Mach-E, I think there's no correlation between the vehicle. The original Mustang vehicle, the pony car, and the electric vehicle of the future. Where there may be a connection, and Marshall was talking about this beforehand, is that the customers, maybe the guys who are our age now and who always wanted a Mustang and then got into family lives and never really did fulfill their dream of owning a Mustang, well, now they can go out and get a Mustang nameplate and in the same vein, get a pretty cool vehicle because I think the Mustang, I think the car has all the features needed to be.
The design is very relevant, no question about it.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, from marketing, you could sort of go, oh, okay, I can see that.
I see it, but I'm still skeptical.
Right.
I still think it's diluting the Mustang nameplate. But, I'm very opinionated when it comes to branding of cars. And, if you go from Ford to GM, first of all, let's stick to Ford. Let's remember what they did with their Premier, the Premier group in the 90s. They wanted to become a leading world-class manufacturer, and they bought all the premium nameplates out there. And that didn't work out too well for
so
Ford.
They sold them.
So my point is, I don't think Ford is too great with branding.
And we'll see how
names.
That.
And on the GM side, it's kind of a shame to see. They're trying to put. And I know I'm going on a tangent. They're trying to turn Cadillac into sporty vehicles instead of keeping them purely luxury vehicles. They have a great nameplate with the Bolt, and they're just not promoting that electric vehicle. Nameplate. The Corvette is another great brand. At least they're keeping it as a sports car brand, unlike what Ford is doing.
You haven't
with
heard
Mustang.
About the Corvette SUV?
Don't go there.
Okay.
Don't go there. Yeah.
And the Corvette, by the way, is the car of the year and deservedly
so.
Absolutely,
I agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we have the pickup truck of the year has returned with the FCA Chrysler or Dodge name to it. Jay said to me he thought it was a heavy duty line as opposed to the one, the 1500 line, what you might call the light duty line, but they're getting bragging rights for having won this award 2 years in a row. And I'm not sure there have been many, I don't know whether there have been other vehicles that have won it 2 years in a row.
And the vehicle is?
The Dodge Ram heavy duty pickup truck.
Okay.
Which I think is a Dodge 2500 equivalent to the GM. Sure, Chevrolet 2500 series, Ford's F-250s and 350 levels of trucks. And granted, Dodge, in my opinion, has done a very good job in the design area of their pickup trucks, making them much nicer as well as remaining unique than I think Ford and Chevrolet has done, although you can generally tell the corporate brand of the truck coming down the road pretty easily without having to be 10 feet away or 10 feet close up, which is much better than it is on the and many of the passenger car lines that are running around the road with almost similar, very similar shapes and all that. And you gotta squint and look at what's in the front radiator grill of many of them to see what the manufacturer's design plate is before you can tell exactly what car is coming at you. In fact, one of the things that is very confusing now on the road for me is that the Taurus police force vehicles do not look too dissimilar to some of the Audis coming down the road. I have found myself second-guessing whether it was a Taurus with the possibility of law enforcement.
Remember the good old days when you could have radar?
You could have what?
Radar.
Radar? Yeah. Don't we still have radar?
We still have radar, but, you know.
Yeah, I was talking about this on the way over, by
yes.
the way. I
didn't drive over, so I don't know.
As we drive a lot, we're constantly, let's face it, we're constantly driving slightly over the speed limit and constantly on the lookout.
Oh, we are?
We are.
We all are because there is sort of a protected sort of area above the posted speed limit that you can go safely without fear of getting stopped.
And that is?
And roughly 5 to 7 miles or 8 miles an hour over safely. And the Mass Pike seems to be 10 to 12.
But it's a moving target.
That's where
I have problems with it. If you go down 684 at commuter time.
Yeah.
Traffic is moving at 85 miles an hour.
That's right.
Everybody's going 85 miles an hour. Nobody's getting pulled over.
And the cops are sitting in the middle when they're if and when they're even out there, and they're letting you go right by. And other times of the day,
it's criminal. If you're alone on the road and you go 85, you will get
nailed.
And to me, there's no moral to that story because if you're alone on the road,
there's really no danger for going 85.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Some guys are very good at being on the lookout because three guys just crossed the country in 27 hours and 25 minutes.
That's pretty
averaging
good.
103 miles an hour.
And it's
without tickets, stops, or whatever.
It's all over.
And where did they
YouTube and
probably picked up their best.
It's a cannonball record.
It's a cannonball record.
It's morally arguable, whether this should be done. And
no deer hits.
The answer is absolutely not. I do not condone it. Do not encourage people to try the same thing.
Right.
We fantasize at times on how we would do it if we were to do it, but for most of us, it remains a fantasy, and It should stay there.
But
the technology is pretty amazing.
Closed course professional driver, don't try this at home.
But they had scouts out ahead of them and not going at the same speed, but checking the roads out for potential interference from animals to humans. And apparently they also had the anti-trapping devices in their vehicles, including, according to Jay, they had infrared camera or devices on top of the roof of the cars to detect moving animals or bodies in the roadway in the middle of the night when they were going through the darkness. So the technology was quite high, at a very high level, and utilized for this event.
As probably were weather forecasts, because there were certain places.
I don't know how they got in between it, but 27 hours, I guess you really, I don't know where
south.
They started
no, it,
on the base. Because all the weather you see on the nightly news, it's every night. It's storm A, B, C, D through Z is starting on the West Coast.
Moral of the story. If you're going to do a road trip, plan ahead.
That's true.
Well, that's true.
But you can only
plan ahead so far. But 27 hours is pretty fast. I guess you could get between weather patterns if you knew what was going on.
I guess they did.
And what did they do? A shift drive?
Two drivers, one guy doing logistics in the back seat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good car, Mercedes AMG. I think it was all-wheel drive. It was tricked out, 700 horsepower.
So it wasn't your basic Focus. It wasn't your basic Focus.
It was not your basic Focus, no. Is that still a car?
I don't know. I just...
I believe.
It is. I just mentioned it simply to separate that from, you know, getting in your car and then trying to get across country in that period of time, no matter what.
Well, we talked to that point. Jay and I were talking about, do you need to have 700 horsepower to do this kind of thing? And the answer is no, you don't. People in Europe.
Well, to do that, you do.
To do that, well, yes.
My point was that, I was in Europe not too long ago, and you see a lot of the same cars we see here in the luxury brands or sport brands, you know, like Mercedes and BMW, and most cars have smaller engines than they do here, mostly because
they're taxed on engine size.
They're taxed on engine size, exactly. Yeah. And fuel is a lot more expensive. So the same cars come out in Europe with much smaller engines. And guess what? They're driving a lot faster. So my point is a lot of people have way more power than they will ever use. And I think it's just
you talk
engraved.
About the big Mustangs and the Corvettes and all that. They all have more power than you're ever going to use. But that's not the point of buying them.
I would say that that's different.
That is different. If you're buying a sports car or fun car, it's something you take out occasionally. But let's face it, most people, I mean, if you have a anything resembling a sports car, you become a club member of one brand or another, and you come to a track, and that's what people do at Lime Rock 5 days a week.
But you can have the same fun in a sports car such as a Miata and have the same relative satisfaction, short of
but I think
a deer-like acceleration. But handling is sometimes better in these smaller, lighter sports cars than they are in the great big front-engine, heavy, big cars. And you don't have to have these big, fat tires that cost a lot of money when you wear them out in 10,000 miles either on these smaller sports cars. So unless you do want to have the big-engined brutes, and you want to be a member of a Sports Car Club of America group and come to Lime Rock or wherever else.
Point that you were trying to make, and I may have misunderstood, but wasn't the point that in Europe it's the same car with a smaller engine that's getting the same speed and the same power?
So it's not getting the same power. People are just driving them harder.
They drive them harder.
Do they last less, or is it pretty?
Well, they've designed the engine to run at those higher RPMs. You're having synthetic oil now, and I think that the engines are designed to run at the higher RPMs because the manufacturers' reputations are going to depend on their providing reliable engine use as much as. Economy.
So I was thinking about this, and we started talking about this on the way over. What I find in Europe now with the enforcement of speed being more systematic. There are speed traps, cameras and
photo radar
and scanners where they clock you on sections of highways, which it could very well do here with all the Easy Pass technology, is in a way a lot. More fair, and people drive more
cautiously.
The same way. Well, they drive the same way. If you're stuck going at whatever the speed limit is, 99% of traffic is moving at the same speed, and that makes for safer
and hallelujah driving. To some of the American driving that I experienced over the last few days, because I experienced that exact rationality, so to speak, on 684 going down to my exit down there from the beginning in the north end, which was roughly 10 or 12 miles, and there were two or three lines of traffic, and from right to left at lanes all the way, they were all going, believe this, 70 miles an hour, and not more at the timeline I was on this particular stretch of road, and I noted it because I was on cruise control in the right lane, and I had a big envelope of space between me in the front and me in the back, and I never caught up to any of the cars that were in front, and none of the cars behind me passed me. And I was sort of blown away by it. What?
What time of day was it?
I don't remember what time
what
of day it was.
Of the week.
All right, yeah, there's that does too.
It was actually,
I want to go back for 1 second to something you said, the state of New Jersey. We got notified that gone too fast through a toll thing. There was a, and from that moment on, have taken those. It must
steps
have been the easy
to correct it, right?
Reader.
But was it one of those toll booths where you were going 70, but you might have been going 80, or was it when you had to slow down to go through?
You had to slow down, but they just...
But
they
it was electronic, so you didn't have
to... They just caught the speed. And,
well, you know what, the old Mass Pikes...
Was it a ticket or just an information?
I believe it was a ticket.
Well, the Mass Pike, when you had the toll booths...
With
the lights and the electronic readers, they, you know, you had the signs posted 5 miles an hour, and then some of them went up to 10 miles an hour, and some of them went to 15 as they were gradually speeding up the computerization of the scanners on the Mass Pike. And but so if people went through at 25 or so, I guess that's what you're saying.
What I am saying is that in certain states, I suspect that the technology is being utilized.
The technology is
totally there and available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's just how
but they
it
do
is.
Have to post a speed though. So if you see the speed posted and you went through at 35 or so, and it was 25, yes, they do have that technology to send you a notice
or
a ticket.
There are speeds posted everywhere. I mean, the whole thing that we talk about on 684.
There's been a lot of talk.
I'll let you know. Do the
we're running out of time.
Mass Pike on a regular basis. I'll let you know what.
There's been a lot of talk about whether or not the toll booth or the toll technology was going to be tracking the speed between one tower and another along those places, and there's been a great deal of consternation about the concept that it might be used for that. And I think so far, and certainly in the states that I seem to drive in, I have not heard that it is being used to. Monitor the speed of the traffic for the purpose of enforcement.
It's coming.
It's coming. Sure, everything's coming.
We have 3 minutes left. Do you want to do a safety tip, or do you want
to? No, it's not. Well, I'll do some of the safety tip because I'm watching people's tires now, and there are a lot of people running around, and I know they may not be able to afford new tires, but maybe they also are just not paying attention with very thin tread depths, I can't emphasize enough to people that, you know, if you can't afford four tires, put the tires with the tread depth, the best tread depth on the front, because they're the steering tires of the car, and you want to have some kind of traction through these puddles of water. For example, as everybody knows today around here, we have many inches of snow on the ground, but the rain is raining and the water is flowing, and the water pools in the low levels of the road, and you will aquaplane through it if you're going to fast, and if you've got very low tread depth, you're not going to have a lot of control. And so that's my safety suggestion for people. Look at your tires. Oh, the other thing is there are a lot of one light headlighters around, and they're low beam. I don't know whether they're low beams, high beams, or any beams, but they are miserable in the darkness, especially if the parking lights or the lower level lights
are
not both running.
I seem to see a lot of Toyotas and Fords running with no daytime running lights.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And
I'm surprised.
So if you have a car that does not have daytime running lights, put your lights on. If you have a car that the dash is always lit up, keep in mind that if your dash is lit up, your lights may not be lit, and walk in front of the car once and figure out how things work. And just make sure your lights are on.
Do not know why all the cars don't have at minimum some kind of DRLs, daytime running lights.
I think a lot of people don't know how to operate them.
No, they don't. If you can turn them off, I cannot turn off the whole front side end of my cars on either my Jeeps or my Hyundai.
Let's put it this way: they should be on by default.
They should be on by default
because people are not that smart.
And I remember being in Canada years and years ago, and. I said to the guy, why are your lights on? He said, your light should be on. Yeah. Put your lights on.
And that's where it started, I think, and it got passed down to this country. But then, as Jay just noticed, and I just noticed also, a lot of Fords, Fusions, not just the Tauruses that we know, the police, law enforcement doesn't use any of these lights when they're driving daytime or barely nighttime. And it's crazy.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.